Our first guest joining us is now a lead football analyst with Fox Sports 1 and a former head coach, former AFC Coach of the Year, Eric Mangini, joins us on the official Raiders podcast. And Coach, before we get into this Raiders game coming up against the Houston Texans, I want to go back to the Raiders' loss at Denver with Gary Kubiak announcing his retirement or stepping away. Did the Raiders just walk into a buzzsaw because Denver didn't have a lot to play for and they dominated that game?
Well, it's really a couple things. When you're Denver and you're as proud as they are playing that last game of the season, you know you have a chance to maybe take somebody down with you. There's an element of that for guys going into the last game of the season. So I think that was definitely a big component of it. And for Oakland, they're trying to figure out life after Carr. And there's a letdown there as well, and there's a learning process that goes into operating the team, operating the offense, everything involved when you lose your quarterback. So it's a combination of Denver wanting to end the season correctly and also dish out a little punishment on their way out, and then Oakland trying to deal with the loss of Carr and the emotional letdown that comes with that.
Coach, in your long career as an assistant, as a coordinator, as a head coach, have you experienced something similar to the situation the Raiders are in after the Carr injury, McGloin, and possibly having to get Connor Cook, who's never started a game, let alone a playoff game, ready to go?
Not to that degree. We went through the transition, obviously, from Bledsoe to Brady, which worked out pretty well. But in the playoffs, we're playing Pittsburgh at Pittsburgh, and Tom got hurt deep in the playoffs, and Bledsoe came in and threw a touchdown. So it's different, but that was the one injury situation late in the playoffs that I experienced. I tell you, though, watching Connor Cook last week, there could be some optimism in Oakland. I thought he came in and played pretty well. He had the one interception that was a little bit overthrown, but there's a bunch of plays there for a guy that hasn't played that he made. I thought, okay, this changes the picture a little bit. I thought he played with poise. It didn't look like things were disorganized. It didn't look like it was too big for him. I tell Raiders fans that there's some encouraging, really encouraging stuff on tape from last week.
Eric Mangini is our guest. Also, Coach, when it comes to a culture and that culture that you were a part of, obviously with the Ravens and the Jets and the Patriots, all the success you had in New England, when a team is fighting for a 2 seed over a 5 seed, or if there's a letdown, and then all of a sudden you find yourself in a wild card playoff game, what's the message that comes from the coaching staff to the players who were trying to get so high the way the Raiders were to get that bye week in the 2 seed, and then boom, all of a sudden they're on the road taking on the Texans?
Well, the great thing about that is there's no time to really wallow in self-pity. There's no time to spend on anything besides getting ready for the next game. And the other great thing about the playoffs is you have everybody's attention. Everybody is doing all they possibly can. And I know you're thinking, your fans may be thinking, well, shouldn't that be the case every week? It's not the case every week. It's a long season. But when you're in the playoffs, everybody is dialed in. They're not worried about the Denver game. That has nothing to do with what's happening this week. They're just all pushing ahead as hard as they possibly can to win that next game. Is it frustrating? The loss is incredibly frustrating. Have what they've gone through lately, is it disappointing? Yeah, but there's still a group of men there that have a chance to do something special. And there's a lot of talent in other areas, too. And they're not going to let this opportunity slip away.
Eric Mangini, kind enough to join us on the official Raiders podcast as we get ready for the Houston Texans coming up on Saturday. Coach, your opinion when Brock Osweiler was named the starter again there and some of the problems that has existed to him early in his career in Houston. Do you believe when the deal went down that he deserved that type of money to go with Bill O'Brien and that they failed him or he failed the organization because he just hasn't lived up to the hype yet?
Well, there's nothing free about free agency. You're going to overpay. You're going to overpay dramatically in free agency. That's just the nature of what it is. And you may not want to pay a guy X amount of dollars, but that's what it's going to take to get him on your team. Now, that doesn't, because you pay someone more money, it doesn't make him a better player. It doesn't make him a more experienced player. it may add expectations. It usually does add expectations. Typically, my experience with free agents in the first year that they're with a team, it isn't necessarily the player that you saw at the other team. It takes them a while to get used to their new team, and it's frustrating. It's frustrating as a coach. It's frustrating as an organization, but it's just the way it typically works. In terms of him failing, I don't think we can say this is a success or failure for a couple of years. You got to see how it plays out. You got to see how guys grow. You got to see how they develop. There's a very quick rush to judgment, whether it's on draft picks or free agencies. And typically a guy that pops early will have some sort of fallback. A guy that maybe is slow developing suddenly hits. So we got to give this some time.
Are you surprised to see Houston has the number one net yards defense without J.J. Watt? You know Romeo Crennel well, the principles of this defense and how they're ready to play at such a high level. Coach, what do they do that's so good? Are they just consistent because they only give up 99-plus yards in the running game, 200 in the passing game? They don't seem to be brilliant at anything, but they do everything really well. Is that fair?
Yeah, to me, that's the key to playing good defense, playing good football. Most games in the NFL are lost. They aren't won. So if you can eliminate self-inflicted wounds, if you can play good, consistent defense, you don't have to jump off the page in any one area. You've got to be good and solid and in all the different areas. And the thing that Romeo and that staff, I'm sure, does is they play smart football. And they collect smart football players, and they play team football, and it's not a function of, did I get the sack, did you get the sack? It's a function of, okay, what do we have to do to win this game this week? And everybody playing their role and doing their part to get to that point. And to me, that's the mark of a good defense, a good offense, a good team, and something that New England's done really well for years.
Wrapping it up with Eric Mangini. He's doing a tremendous job as a new addition to Fox Sports 1 as a football analyst. Coach, Khalil Mack and what you've seen so far from early in your career when you started and knew and saw the film of Lawrence Taylor to Ray Lewis to all the great players on defense, what does the Raider Nation have to look forward to with Mack when it comes to his growth and getting him to evolve and continue to become a better football player?
Well, the first thing is you don't want to attack those guys with too lofty labels too early. Sometimes that can put really unfair expectations on them, and it's hard to live up to a guy like Lawrence Taylor or Ray Lewis. What I like about Khalil is he has ability as a pass rusher, especially from speed to power. His transition from a speed rush where he can get the edge and the offensive lineman sits light in his stance to then powering that same player back into the quarterback. I like that aspect of his pass rush game. What I like more about him is his ability to set the edge in the running game, which I think has been very impressive. He's a stout force in the running game, and there's very few elite pass rushers that are good run players. And that would be the most exciting thing to me as a defensive coordinator or as a head coach. You can oftentimes run at pass rushers, at guys that, you know, that's all they do. You can't run at Mack like that. If anything, you want to run away from him because he's so disruptive in that aspect of the game.
Hey, Coach, on a personal note, with your three Super Bowls, you were the AFC Coach of the Year in 2006. Do you have an Al Davis story? Because I look at this long career as you came in as a Browns assistant in 95, and everyone remembers that staff from a football life of the Cleveland Browns. Were you ever in consideration? Did you talk to Mr. Davis? Because you went to the 49ers recently. Was Oakland ever on your map?
Yeah, you know, he had invited me out to interview for the defensive coordinator job at one point, and he and I got to know each other pretty well through those conversations. And I would talk to him a lot of different times. And, you know, I was always on West Coast time, so you may get a call really late in the evening on the East Coast from Mr. Davis's secretary. He was great. He was great to talk to. He understood all aspects of defense. And when I was a head coach, we could talk through things from a head coaching perspective, and he's a wealth of knowledge, and He asked a ton of questions, which you respect because he was trying to improve his knowledge base regardless of how old he was. You know, as he got older, I think he became more inquisitive. I always enjoyed my conversations with him, and I was always really impressed with how much he knew. It's rare. It's rare for anybody in football to know what he knew.
Yeah, we share a lot of those stories with all our insiders and celebrities who come on, and I always ask a Mr. Davis story because when you did get those phone calls and you were a guy also, your connection to Bill Belichick or Bill Parcells, it's kind of cool, huh, Coach, when you get those calls from Hall of Famers and they want to keep you on the line and pick your brain because they have so much respect for what you know.
It was an honor, and it was an honor when he asked me to come out there as well. It just didn't work out at that point in my life, but I did appreciate the friendship and the relationship and in terms of respect for someone who worked at his craft year in and year out. And I know he may have some detractors and some guys that feel differently. I couldn't be more impressed with his work ethic and his intelligence.
Hey, finally, last question. When you get up early for Undisputed with Skip and Shannon and you get right there, you got a lot thrown at you there. It's fast-paced. How do you like the transition now to TV, especially you're on so many different platforms for Fox and Fox Sports 1? As Fox has the Super Bowl this year, there'll be a lot of coverage down in Houston that I'm sure you're going to be a big part of.
It's fun. You know, it's not quite as stressful as game day is. And I do like the ability to I never found myself being the guy that's going to say, you need to blame this person or that person. I don't want to be that guy. I want to say, this is what happened. This is what the thought process was. And now you as a fan, and so many fans are really well-versed on what's happening. You as a fan, you can decide whether or not you agree with the decision-making. I just want to take you through what the thought process was, what the alternatives were, what went into it, and then you decide, you know, how you feel about that afterwards.
Congratulations, Coach, on your success. We really appreciate you joining us, especially with the short week, with the wild card weekend starting off. We'll see you down in Houston at the Super Bowl. Appreciate your time.
All right. Sounds great. Thank you.